You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Tuesday, so it's time to talk to Ian Cruickshanks, who's the Chief Economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the South African Institute for Race Relations. We missed each other last week, Ian, and in the last 2 weeks, there's been some unpleasantness in South Africa. Not so much on the economy, because we're used to that, but also on the JSE Securities Exchange, certain stalwarts have come under enormous pressure. And I just wonder what you think about that, because these are great South African companies.
Yes. Well, clearly it's a loss of confidence in the abilities of the controllers of the company, and those are of the economy, and those are politicians. Nothing's happening. We speak to contacts in the political circles. They say, it's time for action. They can't produce any. There's nothing's happening. Is anything going to happen? Well, it doesn't look like it at the moment. As I was saying to you a little earlier, though, what I'm really worried about now is the potential for a labor unrest, particularly the one that I talked about, and that was at Lonmin. Lonmin has offered its workers 300 grand increase in year one,
yes.
300 grand per annum, and 350 rand per annum in years two and three.
Right.
The mine, the union, and bear in mind this is AMCU, the one that is inclined to very violent behavior, they're saying nothing doing. Look at the gold price. We want 17,000 rand per month, minimum, basic. That's an increase of 48% of what they've been getting. So the potential for conflict here is considerable. And I have to say, in this case, yes, the union's demands are extraordinary, but at the same stage, it does look like a bit of a slap in the face from the employer, from Lonmin as well, doesn't it? And if you think of what has happened there before, the violent conflagration there was, the army being called in, miners being shot, running away, shot in the back, it's a dangerous situation.
And who was in charge of that? Who was overseeing that terrible, terrible human tragedy, almost like a human rights violation? Who was in charge of the Marikana event, if you like, if I can call it an event?
Well, I believe it was the president himself, I'm not sure if he was the president at that stage,
but
he said that he gave the instruction to do whatever has to be done. And that's what Mr. Ramaphosa said at the time. He may have regretted that later, but anyway, one's got to say this is going to have a number of tests for government, for the unions, for the mines, for the companies themselves, and for an industry which is on its knees. I mean, despite the gold price, yes, profits may be up a bit, but they can't extract any more gold because there isn't that much left.
But on the other hand, you would say to yourself, if you're a union leader or a member of a union working in a platinum mine or a gold mine, you'll say to yourself, well, wait a second, the all-in cost is $792 per ounce. I think that was at Anglo Gold Ashanti. I can't remember the exact numbers, but these semantics need not detain us. But if you see that and you say to yourself, well, I'm looking at my ShareNet screen now, and the price is $1,525 an ounce, which is a six-year high, then surely we should participate in the upside. And also you could say to the platinum miners, you're printing money. You've got Anglo American Platinum coming out with trading updates saying that their headline earnings per share are going to increase by 100 to 120%. Again, these numbers are inaccurate, but you see what I mean. I understand the union's position here, but I also understand that there's good times and there's bad times. There must be some sort of flexible system that could be employed in order that everybody benefits from the good times and everyone knuckles down during the bad times.
Yes, it has to be accepted that mining undertakings are not forever, and this has to be borne in mind. But the workers also have had a difficult deal for a long time and need to have some of these occasional bonanzas, and one hopes that it can be settled without too much violence. Will there be some? Undoubtedly, but bearing in mind history over the recent past, one's got to hope that they can be fairly amicably settled in a fairly short time. It's very important. Otherwise, we're going to find even more of an outflow of foreign funds from South Africa, and I mean that is still the money is still streaming out. We're up to over 90 billion this year to date, 90 billion rand. What we're doing is we're encouraging capital outflow, and also, as you just told me, the brain drain as well. South Africa cannot afford this, and it's going to mean that when, if and when we get to a turnaround situation, it's going to be very hard to pick up. It'll be a long, hard slog for sure.
I don't have a wide circle of friends or even associates because I'm a bit of a sociophobe, Ian Cruickshanks, but three people, two have already gone, and one is thinking of leaving South Africa, and these are productive, taxpaying individuals. I think it's a little bit different from previous times, where just before democracy, for example, when everyone thought that the country was going to descend into anarchy, which obviously didn't happen. But this time, it's slightly different. It's been a slow chipping away at confidence, chipping away at patriotism, chipping away at your personal economic finances, that sort of thing. This time, it's different. People that love South Africa are leaving, not people that were here just as transient beasts.
Well, I'm afraid you're absolutely right. And, you know, we went out to say cheerio at a function with what is one of the top technical analysts that South Africa has last Sunday. And he's going to work in London. He's got to start an operation there, prepared to give it a go. Why? Because he just thinks it'll be a better deal for his two children.
That's the thing.
Anyway, yeah.
My children are young. They're in their 20s. They love South Africa. They're going to stay. But I think if they were in their 30s or 40s and they had children, they'd probably say to themselves, well, actually, maybe I should look. I've got a British passport. I've got an Irish passport. And they would go ahead. But this is for the youngsters. This is not for the faint-hearted. In other words, the older people who have children to consider.
Yes. It is a very difficult situation. Meanwhile, South Africa is bleeding capital. And the capital is in the form of cash and assets and the brain power of those who have turned their backs on South Africa and do not intend to come back at this stage. It just makes you say, well, how are we going to grow a new economic and business upturn, not easily in the foreseeable future? And that is going to be a terrific challenge for Mr. Ramaphosa to build confidence on. It's a heck of a job.
I watched CNN. In the meantime, go on.
And in the meantime, I would be very wary of taking any new stakes in the stock market. I think that the market has become a place for short-term trading, not at the moment for long-term investing from here out.
I watch CNN quite often. I like it because it bashes Trump, but I also like it because it's got two African programs or African-focused programs. One is called Inside Africa, the other one is called African Voices. And when I watch these programs, obviously it's skewed and cherry-picked. They've cherry-picked their stories to portray the continent as a vibrant continent, and often there are South African stories. And when I see the talent in South Africa, when I see the enthusiasm, especially amongst young people, I think to myself, it's a tragedy because this could be a lost generation. Why aren't we supporting these people?
Yeah. There's no easy answer. There's no answer. It defies logic. That's all I could say.
What do you think of the markets at the moment? As I said, there's been some jewels in the JSE crown that have suddenly turned out to be fakes. That's quite a good phrase. I must remember that for later podcasts. But you know what I mean. There have been some darlings of the exchange that have suddenly become dogs.
Sure. Look at the JSE itself as a company, which is looking very potentially a long-term profitable basis. And it just seems the CEO has left. It just seems that there's less business being done. It's more expensive to do it. Less opportunity for getting ahead in the short to medium term. I think that sums it up.
When are you going to start to say to yourself, well, the JSE has fallen far enough and Aspen and Discovery and Brait and all the others have fallen far enough and I'm going to start to nibble? Obviously not at the moment.
I would say, you know, there's no rush. Companies can come down and stay down for some time. There's a heck of a lot got to be sorted out before we become an attractive investment destination for global funds and even for domestic funds. You know, time is on the side of the investor. There's no rush at the moment. That's my view.
And your view has been right for so long now, actually, in your own quiet and considered way. You've been right for a long time. Ian Cruickshanks is the chief economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the South African Institute for Race Relations. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.